Ellen Cixous in a recent film production that we've been shooting speaks about the way that one, with one's aspirations, with one's dreams, constructs a second layer of reality. The way that all of our dreams and aspirations, our desires, are real insofar as they create this other way of thinking about our life, its possibilities. And despite their seemingly imaginary nature, they implicate, they entangle with the life that we live, the life that we inhabit, that we encounter as we move down the street. I'm interested in this notion of how our dreams are something that we carry with us, but that they're something that implicates our reality. It makes me think of something she once said about the cities that we live in, that the cities we inhabit are not just to be understood as sites of physical infrastructure, but as spaces of dreams, of collective imaginings, and that cities are no less real on account of that imaginary infrastructure. There's a way in which I think this project, How to Get Started, invites people to dream, to meditate on the possible, and that in a certain sense, this room creates, facilitates, enables an archive of dreams to be compiled, to emerge. Some sad, some humorous, but an archive of aspirations, of regrets, of tensions. My colleague Jean-Michel once said that our events that we've been shooting here at Slot Foundation launch processes that one with these one's processes with one's dream begin constructs they a continue layer without of end reality. One can't the way worry that all where their dreams and aspirations our desires a project is more than its insofar as outcome a project is not to be understood this as other having a way fixed of goal thinking a about project should be understood life, fundamentally as a process. A process that and plays out in ways seemingly that can only be nature, unexpected. They implicate, they entangle. I want to think that this project, life that How to Get live, Started, the life that we is also a process. Inhabit that we encounter. Each recording, each engagement. I'm interested in this launches, notion of a how process. Our dreams are something that we carry that with us. One, by definition, can't anticipate or know how to implicate. But I also reality. Think that the project itself, not just makes me recording, think is also a process. Of some process once that said about the continues indefinitely. That the cities, in ways one we can't inhabit, are not just to be understood as along trajectories, sites of physical that can only be unexpected, but as spaces and of it's dreams, in that sense, of collective imagining that this project and that cities is a process with are no end. Less real on account of that imaginary infrastructure. There's a way in which I think this project, How to Get Started, invites people to dream, to meditate on the possible, and that in a certain sense, this room creates, facilitates, enables an archive of dreams to be compiled, to emerge. Some sad, some humorous, but an archive of aspirations, of regrets, of tensions. My colleague Ellen Jean-Michel, Cixous, speaking with once Ed Luck, that our special advisor to Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General, launched the United Nations way that one he remarked that change is often misunderstood. They continue within the artistic community. One often one thinks about change as something that one has to witness, that one would be so lucky as to witness oneself. A project is more than its
that change should happen overnight to be understood,
that it should happen in a matter of days or weeks, months, fundamentally
even years,
as a process.
Instead, he suggested that
we have to think about change on the level of decades.
They entangle.
I want to think that this project,
if we think on the level of decades,
in fact, the world that we live in, the world that each morning,
each engagement,
I wake up and want to be otherwise, is in fact
a process or something that we carry with us,
not what it was, in fact something better, perhaps
something different than what
I also think that the project itself,
that there would be recording.
Is all plausible reason to have hope for the future
if one thought on that
cities
in ways one we inhabit are not just to be understood as
a long trajectory.
Nevertheless, I can't help but think of a couple of questions,
and it's in that sense
when people
that this
project
and that cities
about change
are no less real on account.
Can you force a dialogue before its time? Can you force a dialogue ahead of its time?
There's a way in which I think this project, How to Get Started, invites people to dream, to meditate.
If everyone participated in this project, what sort of change would that lead to?
This room,
what might happen?
Creates, facilitates, enables an archive.
If everybody's voice was somehow added to the mix, what might result in consequence of that?
Some sad, some humorous, but an archive of aspirations, of regrets, of tensions.
The last few months have been difficult for me.
Speaking with Ed Luck,
our special advisor to Ban Ki-moon,
Pakistan,
the United Nations,
where I was working with students,
he remarked that change
in
Beijing begins where I've been working with students.
They continue within
the artistic community.
I kept
one often hearing about a change or something.
Everyone has to
ask about justice,
would
talk about
lucky,
about fairness.
The project is more than it's.
That change should happen overnight.
What was difficult for me was to understand
in a matter of
in that moment,
months,
that even years,
as a process.
There are certain questions that
he suggested
can't help but pose,
but
that
think about change.
We also can't answer.
They entangle.
I wanted to think,
and there are certain understandings
on the level of decades
of the reality that we live in
that
are irreconcilable.
Morning,
each engagement,
I wake up
the other world,
otherwise
that others
is in fact.
A process.
Or something
I want to reconcile with
different
realities,
different realities
I and others wake up to every morning.
That the project itself,
that there would be,
but of course, that isn't
so easy
to have hope.
I want to be implicated by others. I want to be entangled with their voices and their thoughts.
Nevertheless,
with their ideas.
But think of a couple of questions,
and it's in that.
But it's not so easy.
Is a process
about change.
No less real.
In Beijing,
can you force a dialogue
one student
before its time
in a conversation?
Force a dialogue ahead of its time.
Ed suggested that what we've lost today is the art of listening.
What we've lost is the ability to listen to others.
If everyone participated
and to listen
in this project,
to others, what
would
be fundamentally
lead this room
about
creates,
being inclusive,
enables,
about being open,
if everybody's
about being
voice
entangled
somehow added to the
by
mix,
their thoughts, by their dreams,
what might
by their
result
aspirations.
In consequence of that?
Some sad, some humorous, but an archive of aspirations, of regrets, of tensions.
This is what I understand How to Get Started to be about.
My first engagement with John Cage's work was around 2000 or 2001
in Pakistan.
I was a young artist, not yet a curator.
With students.
He remarked,
and I was interested in Cage's spoken diary.
In the artistic
his remarks towards the end of his life that Vergo, the German label, had just released,
would talk about
so
justice,
about fairness.
What I did was something quite simple,
maybe
foolish, maybe naive, but at the time it meant everything to me.
Months,
that
even years, As a I took out from then his diaries the parts where he was breathing.
We also can't
parts the intervals in between his comments.
And there are certain understandings,
and I collated, I compiled all of these breaths, all of this breathing by this artist that had such a reverence for, such a respect for
is in fact a process.
And then I played those out in an installation,
different realities,
in a cultural situation. But in a somewhat funny, a somewhat peculiar way,
that isn't so easy.
I created barcodes, and the public would come in and they would, in front of this grand piano, they would scan the barcodes. And in scanning the barcodes, they created compositions.
But it's not so breathing
as John Cage's
breathing
about change. There was this weird way when you walked into the room,
one student before its time,
that
in a
you walked into a room of breath that suggested that what we've lost today
pauses.
Is the art of listening. You walked into a room
what
that
we've
lost
completely
is the full
to listen
if
to
everyone
others,
if somebody
to
listen
project,
to others, but at the same time that person wasn't there,
about
was mostly presence,
being inclusive,
about being open.
If everybody's voice
a few years go by,
their
and
thoughts,
I occasionally
their
listen to this recording,
their
to the record
some
of that
sad,
project.
Some humorous.
It's just another part
of
my life, another phase of my life.
Tensions.
This is what I understand how to get started to be about. My perennial concern with the avant-garde is to engage or to not engage with questions of power. Should one compromise? Should one not compromise? Should one evade?
And I was interested in
power? Should one engage in
diaries?
Should one reconcile with institutionality or should one be fundamentally ambivalent about
label
just release? Is power problematic?
What I did
be embraced? Something
quite
simple. These are, in a way, the defining characteristic, the defining legacy of the historical avant-garde.
I took out from his
but it's a difficult one, because they've left us with the impression that it's such an easy choice, or that it's a choice that one only has to make once.
Compiled all of these breaths,
that it's not a process.
By this
art of compromise
and
entanglement that one constantly has to navigate.
And
then there's this sense in the 60s and 70s in the artist community in New York and cultural institutions that you could somehow ever be outside of the society that you're part of, that you could somehow not be implicated, that you could somehow choose
and they would
take
sides. Grand piano.
I feel like today we're living through a different moment.
Scanning the barcodes,
we're living through a moment when one can't help but understand one's own entanglements, one's
complicity,
one's compromises.
That
you walked into a room, but when compromised, how does one know anymore what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong?
Walked into a room that we've lost completely full to listen to others.
It's not clear how to hold true to any fixed position or perspective.
Wasn't there
about
ghostly presence?
I feel like one can only be ambivalent today about the institutions one's part of,
by their
the structures that one works through and within
the
world as one lives it and inhabits
humorous.
It. It's just another part
of
my life, another phase of my life.
Tensions.
This is what I understand how to get started to be about.
My perennial concern.
I'm often asked what
is to
engage is, what to not
engage
in, questions of power.
Should
last week I thought maybe
I
finally have an answer.
Evade.
And I was interested. Slot is fundamentally a society of ideas.
Should one reconcile conversationality
or should one be
fundamental?
I suppose what's new about that definition is power
problematic.
I've always thought that this was something not unique to us, but unique to this moment.
An urgent need for an organization
to be thought of,
legacy,
not in terms of artifact or in terms of goals or outcomes,
but
it's a difficult one of ideas.
They've left us with
but then, as I started to think about what makes
a
slot, or that it's a choice that one only has to make, or at least specific,
it's not
a process.
by this. I realize that in a certain sense, Philadelphia has always been a society in which there's this sense of individuality experiment with the artist community in New York and cultural institutions.
The Barnes Foundation.
That you could somehow ever be outside
the American Philosophical Society,
the Mutter Museum,
the Wagner,
that you could Rosenbach.
The list goes on and on, but what I take, I suppose, today from
Philadelphia we're living
is this notion that the role of an organization, the role of an institution, cultural or otherwise, is to experiment
with the idea of belonging, with the idea of collectivity.
But when
and I suppose it's that that I want Slot Foundation to be seen
what is right
as being within the framework of, as carrying on the trajectory of.
It's not clear how to hold true to
I want Slot at a moment when there's such a lack of trust in the very idea.
I feel like one can only be ambivalent today
to be a space that would be responsible to our needs, a space where one could feel that one could have a conversation
inhabits it.
It's just another part of my life, another phase of my life.
Tensions.
This is what I understand how to get started to be about.
My perennial concern,
I'm often asked,
I think the public is fundamentally
a performing public.
Last week, I thought maybe
often the case that in museums, in civil society,
fundamentally a society of ideas.
The public is seen as an audience.
They're seen as passive.
I suppose what
they're seen as
about that definition
he or she who's supposed to listen,
supposed to
be
docile.
Urgent need for
I guess for me, the public is something that should not be thought of as active. The public should be thought of as an artist, as being fundamentally and thoroughly and innately creative.
Or that it's a choice that one only has to make.
It's not a question of defining the public. It's not a question of teaching the public. It's a question of encouraging the public, of enabling and facilitating the public to be creative, to be fundamentally open to a process of becoming.
The Wagner, the Rosenbach.
Perhaps the change will take decades,
but what I take,
hopefully,
today
I feel like ultimately,
is this
necessarily that the artist needs to be everyone.
The role of an institution.
The artist is not the specialized kind of figure in modernism or in previous periods,
and I suppose
a fountain of creativity. The artist is everyone, and ultimately everyone needs to be heard.
The trajectory.
It's not clear how to hold true.
I want Slot at a moment when there's such a lack of trust in the very
idea.
I feel
idea like one can only be ambivalent today
to be a space that would be responsible to our needs,
a space that where
a space where one could feel that one could have
a conversation
inhabits it.
It's just another part of my life, another phase of my life.
Tensions.
This is what I understand how to get started to be about.
The other day, I was speaking with
the public
fundamental writer, an art critic from Malaysian
public.
Last week,
he mentioned to me, he shared with me the idea of comparative contemporaries.
Society.
I immediately wrote this down. I was taken by it.
As an audience,
thought this is the most beautiful phrase.
I suppose what
I then proceeded to try to understand it, to try to read it,
in
all of its many ways of being read. I guess what I take from this concept, this notion of contemporary, comparative contemporary,
should be thought of as an artist.
I guess the notion I take from it is that there is no one contemporary,
that
our task today, the challenge today, is to compare and to contrast
defining
various contemporaries, the different contemporaries that people on the surface of this globe each wake up to every morning.
There is a plurality. there's a fundamental plurality of contemporaries existing side by side, all perhaps to a fundamentally irreconcilable, each unique to themselves.
Perhaps the change will take decades.
I guess questions of translation inevitably emerge. How does one translate contemporaries across contemporaries? How does a concept like peace get translated across cultural divides, cultural differences, cultural diversities, and different language creativity? How to translate a concept that is perhaps fundamentally untranslatable? How to translate experience?
I want Slaw at a moment when there is such a lack of trust in the very idea of
like one can only be ambivalent today,
to be a space that would be responsive to part of these, a space that where a space where one could feel that one could have a conversation
inhabits it.
It's just another part of my life, another phase of my life. Tension. This is what I understand how to get started to be about.
In Immanuel Kant's essay on perpetual peace, 1795,
a writer,
there is buried in public a discussion about hospitality.
He shared with me the idea.
It's interesting that in an essay on peace, on the possibility of peace, on its impossibility, Kant speaks about hospitality. I guess what I tend to signal, to signify, to mean, is that hospitality is fundamentally linked for Kant to the concept.
I guess what I take from this concept,
peace,
this notion of
he talks about hospitality not in terms just of the borders of a country,
the notion I take from
as the borders of the nation state, but in terms of the privacy of one's home.
Is to compare.
I think what he means is that hospitality begins in the home, begins in the most private of places, but that the home would also be the way that we could construct
a
more peaceful world.
There's a fundamental plurality of contemporaries.
When we were working on how to get started,
all perhaps
with Ken Saylor and with others that were part of the team,
unique to themselves.
Perhaps the change will.
I don't know if it was ever explicitly stated, but I think it was understood from the beginning
that
we wanted the space of this room to be a space that would be hospitable, that would be a space that would be welcoming and open, a space that would feel generous or inviting, diversities,
and different.
And I suppose that was linked
how
to translate a concept that is perhaps fundamentally
how to get started,
how to translate, which is fundamentally an opportunity to think with others. To be implicated by others, to share a space, an intimate space with others.
A space that where a space where one could feel that one could have a conversation inhabits it. It's just another part of my life, another phase of my life. This is what I understand how to get started to be about.